Should the Mets sign Ohtani or Bellinger? Or how about Blake Snell or Aaron Nola? I'll discuss all of that and much more on this edition of Mets Musings. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings. Hope everybody had a good week out there. A little bit better than our Metsies. They're kind of staggering into the finish line. Played well until they got to Philly. Dropped the first two, but two tight games with tying up late in the game. A lot of late game heroics, but unfortunately falling short in the ninth and tenth inning yesterday with Philadelphia getting the winning run and two walk-off victories. So it's been a bit of a struggle for the Mets in Philadelphia so far, a place they used to love to go and do well, but it's been a struggle, so far. But look, they're at, 71 wins now? 70 wins, and chances are they're going to end up with about 75, 76 wins. Not a good season, not good at all, but let's take it and move on. Next year, next year's going to be, it's going to be an interesting winter. No two ways about it, to see what direction this team goes into. But it's not going to, I don't think this team's going to be as bad as everybody's painting it to be. Now we have to see what they do, but they do have a great core of players, veterans and young guys now, because the young guys are getting to play quite a bit and it's really paying off. So what do I mean by that? Well, let's go around the infield and just figure it. You've got Alonso back for another year, whether they extend him or try to sign him to a long-term contract or wait. He's not going to be a free agent until after next season, so he'll be there next season. Looks like Mauricio's going to be a fixture in that infield, depending upon how he, of course, hits next year, what kind of start he gets off to. But right now, we have to figure him in. Francisco Lindor is, we know he's going to be there. And third base, you've got Vientos or Beatty. And to tell you the truth, Beatty is starting to come around, I think. Yes, his numbers look terrible, but he's hit, he's had five hits in his last four games, and two of those have been home runs. So he's starting to show some pop. He's starting to come around. And if you notice, his defense has been a lot better since he's been called up again. So Beatty is going to be there. He's going to be in that mix. Vientos is going to be in a mix somewhere, either as a DH, a part-time fill-in at first base, maybe even a part-time outfielder. Okay, so that's your infielder. Then down the outfield, that's more of a question mark, but we know we've got McNeil and Nimmo at least, and that's not bad building blocks. DJ Stewart could be back. I don't know what his contract situation is, but he could be back next year. They can pick up guys along the way. I thought Tommy Pham might be a good pickup, but after his recent comments about the Mets being one of the least hardest working groups he's ever been with, I don't think we'll see him back in pinstripes anytime soon. But it's that type of guy that they can go after and maybe sign to a 2-year contract because they have guys coming. They're going to have a glut in the middle infield. They've got Jet Williams at AA. They've got Acuna at AA. They'll both probably, my guess is next year, Acuna will start in AAA. Jet Williams will probably stay at AA for part of the season, at least the beginning of the year, and play some more shortstop and maybe some center field. And who knows, in 2025 or at the end of 2024, if he pushes it, we could see Jet Williams up here playing either a center field or a middle infield position. If Beatty doesn't cut the mustard, we can always move Maurizio over to third. And then you've got Acuna, who could play second. Not Lindor, but maybe Jet Williams. My guess, Jet Williams is going to end up in the outfield. He will probably end up in center field. This is just my opinion. And push Nimmo at age 32 or 33 to left field, which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad problem to have. So that's just my idea of what's going to happen. But looking at next year itself, so they definitely need to rebuild the bullpen. They have to get better in the bullpen. No, we saw a lot of the young arms come forward and pitch pretty good. Coonrod looks good at times. Brooks Raley, who is a free agent, I'd like to sign him again, though, because he's pitched well. I can't think of the name now. Bickford's pitched very well. Don't know what his contract situation is, but I'd like to hold on to him as well. Adam Ottavino's had a very bad year, off year for him. I think he's under contract for next year. If so, bring him back. He could have a terrific year next year. And, of course, the big thing is Edwin Diaz will be back. And the rumors that he's going to try to return to a game this season has been officially squashed. The Mets reported through Anthony DeComo that the team is opting not to risk anything or rush a return with Diaz, with them being so far out in the standings. So no Edwin Diaz this year. And I know I was not always an Edwin Diaz fan, but I have to admit the guy has been dominant the last few years. I was not crazy about the trade, mainly because of the Robinson Cano addition and contract. But the first year that Diaz had was, you know, pretty horrible. I mean, so, and he struggled the second year for a while, but since then he's been very durable and very dominant here. And so, I'm a convert. They missed him terribly this year. If not only psychologically, physically, they missed him coming out of the bullpen. So was that the reason the Mets did so poorly? No, that was not. It is one of several. Timely hitting, too many strikeouts, pitchers that only went 3-4 innings, overburdened bullpens. You know, wouldn't you have loved to see this bullpen, who seemed to be pretty solid at the beginning of the year, would have loved to see them, if they only had to do the normal workload, if they came in at the seventh inning, if a starter went 5 or 6 innings, and the bullpen came in and did their 3 innings of work, it may have been a big difference. And I'm talking about early in the season. May have been a big difference in the middle to late part of the season. But let's face it, the month of June killed this team. They went 7-19, and that absolutely buried them. I think they fell 18 games behind the Braves at that point. They were in the race, hovering around 500, mind you, but in the race until June. And June was just a total disaster of a month for them, and really set them back, and something they never recovered from. And then, of course, I think the shock of the trade deadline with Verlander and Scherzer being traded and all the other guys get, you know, Canha and Pham and all of those guys, I think that really put them in another funk for a couple of weeks. And then they came out of it, been playing pretty decent ball, not always winning, but playing pretty decently. And, you know, that's all you can ask for. Last night's game was a perfect example. Got the lead, lost the lead. Got the lead, tied it up, fell behind, chipped away, got a run, and then tied it up in the ninth, and then unfortunately lost it in the 10th. But these things happen, and unfortunately, it happened too much to the Mets this year. But, you know, we're not in that bad a shape as we were a few years ago, or even last year when they had to fill a lot of spots on the pitching staff. Now, you know, we've still got Kodai Senga, who's been sensational. We've got Quintana in the rotation for next year. Hopefully he starts the year healthy. That'll be a big boost to start. After that, it gets thin, okay? You go to David Peterson, who's been brilliant and terrible this season. Same thing with Tyler McGill. He was brilliant last night for five innings and gave up a home run in the sixth. So he's been a lot better though lately as well. Are they going to be in the mix, or are they going to be backups? That's what we'll have to see. But how about Jose Buto? He has continued to impress. He has pitched very well. He's allowed two runs or fewer in his last three outings, all of which he pitched at least five innings. He has a 2.08 ERA since being recalled to the majors and making a strong play for a rotation spot next year. So you got Jose Buto. Joey Lucchese is another guy, struggled his last outing, but has pitched very well in his outings before that. He's another guy you got to consider. So if we add those guys in the mix, it means we only got to, you know, we have to add at least one starting pitcher, perhaps two, but we don't have to go after the top guys either. I mean, I'd like to see one top guy. I'd like to see like a Blake Snell or even an Aaron Nola, somebody like that, somebody of that level come in, and then maybe the next level down, you'd go for a pitcher, maybe a Lance Lynn or something, even a Rich Hall at his 44 years old, something like that, for the experience with these young guys. And maybe you have a Buto and Lucchese and McGill and Peterson fight it out for that fifth spot. And again, you know, their depth, they're going to pitch, they're going to get into the major league games. As we know, the injuries do come, and they will get in. So, but I guess what I'm trying to say is this, it's not as bleak for the future as we may think it is. And, you know, who knows? A big bat in the outfield. You know, there's rumors about Ohtani, but I think Ohtani now, do you want to pay him the money? You have to decide if you're going to pay him a lot of money. Is it as a potentially a pitcher or just as a DH? Because he's going to be coming over to any team next year as a DH only. He can't pitch. He just had Tommy John surgery. So he won't be able to pitch till 2025. And we don't know if the coming back in 2024 is going to hurt his rehab to be a pitcher in 2025. We don't know how that all shakes out, because guys are usually off and just doing their rehab. He's going to be actually playing on a major league level and rehabbing at the same time, rehabbing his arm, but playing. And they want to compare him to Bryce Harper because Bryce Harper came back as a DH for a while for the Phillies. But you can't, because if he's going to demand such a large salary, to me, the large salary is because he was a combination DH and a pitcher. If you're not getting pitching out of him and you don't know whether he will be able to pitch again, this is his second Tommy John surgery. We don't know how he's going to come back after this as a pitcher. Yes, he can play the out. He's played the outfield a little bit, but do you want to pay that much money for a DH essentially next year? Maybe an outfielder or a pitcher in the future. That's what a team has to decide. Are they going to take the chance that he's going to be able to pitch and give him an 8, 9, 10-year contract? My guess is, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if Ohtani signs a 1-year deal and then proves he can pitch, and then he'll get his big contract, but he'll be another year older then too. So we'll see how it shakes out. But the other hitter that would be viable or valuable to the Mets if they would wish to sign him would be probably Cody Bellinger based on this season. Now, if you remember and you listen to Mets musings all the time, I pushed for the Mets to sign him at the beginning of the year. My thoughts were that if they, I believe it was before Nimmo got signed, that if they didn't sign Nimmo, at least they'd have an all-star center fielder defensively. And if they could get him to hit a little bit, well, for whatever happened in Chicago, to change the scenery work, he had a terrific year. He's having a terrific year. He's hitting. He looks like the old Cody Bellinger at bat. And he can also play first base. So this sets up an interesting situation. I wanted the Mets to get him, as I said, last season, because they could have got him cheap. They could have picked him up for 1 year, got him cheap, could have extended him partly way through the year for not. Now he's going to cost a little bit more because he had a good year. But that's, you know, that's up to the ownership. But he's a guy I would consider, and I'd consider on a couple of different levels. He can play the outfield well. If you want, you can move Nimmo to left now and place him in center, or have him play a corner, or he can also play first base. So if you were to sign him for 3 years and lose Alonso to free agency, you've got Cody Bellinger to play first base. So he may be the better signing for the Mets, and I think, I know he'll be cheaper than Ohtani will be. So that may be a strong consideration to go with Bellinger or to try to get a bat. And he may be able to impact them enough to help them. I guess what they're really looking for is a 2015 Yoenis Cespedes who came over and carried the team. But there's not too many guys out there like that. And he was not the same player really after that year. He had some injuries and whatnot. And that's what I believe they're looking for. That's what they need probably. All right, I talked enough for now. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be back with some organizational players of the year right after this.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for interesting baseball talk, opinions, and history.
Baseball and BBQ, your place for barbecue recipes, tips, and interviews from the world of barbecue. If you like baseball and if you like barbecue, then tune in to Baseball and BBQ. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and BaseballTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that Baseball PhD can be heard on BaseballTalkRadio.com?
Our shows rotate with other top baseball podcasts.
Now don't forget, that's BaseballTalkRadio.com.
With us, we'll help you get a PhD in life. true baseball.
With BaseballTalkRadio.com, you'll hear the rest of the excellent universe of baseball podcasts.
Hello, baseball fans. You're listening to Baseball Talk Radio, the home of great baseball talk shows. At BaseballTalkRadio.com, you're going to find great shows like this one with the great Gary Mack and the Mets Musings podcast. And now back to the show.
And I'm back. And it's time to go down on the farm. Okay, down on the farm. Well, the Mets announced their 2023 Player Development Awards on Wednesday afternoon, with Jed Williams named the Player of the Year and Christian Scott the Pitcher of the Year. They got the top honors in the Player Development Awards. And let's look at some of the other award winners. They include outfielder Jeffrey Rosa of the DSL Complex Player of the Year. The left-handed pitcher Franklin Gomez got the DSL Complex Pitcher of the Year. The catcher Hayden Senger got the Platinum Glove. Infielder William Lugo got the Infield Gold Glove. Outfielder Rylan Thomas got the Outfield Gold Glove. The 19-year-old Jet Williams has had a meteoric rise through the farm system. He started with low A St. Lucie, went to high A Brooklyn, and now double A Binghamton. Across three levels, he has hit .263 with 13 homers, 55 RBIs, 45 steals, and 81 runs scored. Christian Scott, 24, has made his way through the same three levels this season, pitching to a 2.57 ERA with 107 strikeouts over 149.1 innings. In 12 starts with double A Binghamton, Scott has been exceptional, pitching to a 2.47 ERA with a 0.84 whip. The recipients of the Player and Pitcher of the Year awards, the Platinum Glove awards, and others will be honored on Citi Field on September 28th prior to a 7-10 start against the Miami Marlins. So, congratulations to all the award winners in the organization. Richly deserved. They work hard, these young guys, and deserve all the acknowledgement that they get. Now, Binghamton has made the playoffs, and they were still alive the last I was able to ascertain. They are playing were playing Somerset Patriots. Well, they don't really tell you here. Yes, and the Binghamton Rumble Ponies made it to the championship finals by beating Somerset, and now they are in the championship game, or series, I should say, against the Erie Seawolves. So we got a chance for a championship this year. As we reported last show, I think it was, Brooklyn fell short by a half a game or one game out and did not win the second half and did not make the playoffs. So that's the farm report, as we can gather as much information as we can at this point. And I'd like you to check out our other shows. What am I talking about? I don't even know what I'm talking about. And the Binghamton Rumble Ponies has made it to the championship game against the championship series, I should say, against the Erie Seawolves, and they will be playing that tomorrow, starting that series. And good luck to Binghamton. We could have a championship team in the organization this year in the minor leagues. Wouldn't that be terrific? And a lot of that came about after those trades that were made at the trade deadline. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope you'll tune in each and every week. And don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube or at MetsMusings.com, you can hit the like and subscribe button, and that way you'll always know when an episode is available. That's the video version. The audio version, which is exactly the same without pictures, that is available on all your podcasts. However you get your podcast, we are there. And if you can, hit the subscribe button. So again, you always know when a new edition of Mets Musings come about. So until next time, remember, oh, one more thing before I go. Please stop by baseballpodcast.net, baseballradioshow.com, same spot, and listen to the many shows that are available there, including this show and my good friends Jeff and Len's show, Baseball and BBQ, and Rich Baxter does the Phillies talk show. And of course, Rich and I do a show called the Baseball Talk Radio Show on a weekly basis, so go check out that those shows as well. And until we meet again, remember to keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets. And I'll see you next time on another edition of Mets Musings.